Okay.
Oh, that's still on.
Couple more things. We had a lot of people camping today, so hopefully the weather, I think they're coming. They probably aren't going to get hit with the weather, so I got my Pastor Mike Kim, a lot of people having a good time. Everybody safe? Okay, good. Huh? Awesome. All the youth that are in here, can you come up here for a minute, please? The youth. Everybody who is a youth, in youth, junior youth, come up here. Yes, it's unannounced. But if I told you ahead of time, you'd have already decided you weren't coming up, so now I got you. Huh? What am I doing? You know better than to ask that question. Did you know that it was Mr. Tony's birthday today?
Yeah. They didn't tell us.
And Mr. Kurt had one the other day. So I want you to step up and sing happy birthday to him. All right. Go. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tony and Mr. Kurt. Happy birthday to you. All right. One other thing, just the youth, we've been announcing it, and you know, we had talked about maybe sponsoring some of the kids going up, make sure everybody made it. We've committed that any youth that wants to go is going to go. We've covered that, even with some despair. So I mean, you guys have all. I mean, this fellowship has responded amazingly. So I think total 39, we got 30 or 31 from our fellowship going, Tony, now? 29 that are going to be able to go, which is just amazing. Nobody has been denied that opportunity. So here's the thing, and I don't do this very often. You guys know I don't do this very often. One thing that I'm committed to and the elders are committed to is that that they have an amazing time, that everything is provided for them up there. The door opened up for a worship team to actually come out with Chuck and Aralia. It's going to be an extra expense. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm just going to ask you to pray, and if the Lord puts it on your heart, put it in the tithe box, let us know what it's for, you know, that it's for this, and we're just going to trust that the Lord's going to take care of that, because we want them to have, I mean, that's one thing that I've been committed to and I've been praying for, is that whatever the Lord wants for them, it's going to be taken care of and covered, that they have an amazing time. And this is the group that's going up. So thank you all, and thank you for responding and making sure that everybody's going to be able to go. So, all right, guys and girls, thank you. Would you stand, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19 as we continue in our study through the book of Luke. Starting at verse 1, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, that you would even consider us and that you love us. And we just thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to die for us, Lord. We pray that there would be no distractions, no interruptions. And Lord, if you need to get us out of the way, do so. And we pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church. And if there's anybody here who needs to see Jesus clearly, Lord, I pray that you would clear the way. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Please be seated. I agree with Dan that it is, and it's amazing that God doesn't need us to accomplish what he is going to do, yet he still gracefully and graciously uses us. The truth of the matter is, and I know Dan knows this as well as I do, sometimes he needs to remove us and get us out of the way in order to accomplish what he is going to accomplish. And we certainly, you know, because we're human and we make mistakes, we find ourselves in that position, but we don't really want to ever be the they that we have in our story here this morning, the ones who were getting in the way of Zacchaeus seeing Jesus Christ. We know that this is the crescendo, so to speak, as Jesus is nearing Jerusalem, and he has already certainly taught many times on faith, what faith looks like, who to have faith in, that men ought always to pray the Father's desire to have fellowship with you and to have fellowship with me. And then on three occasions, as he's nearing Jerusalem, as he's heading to Jerusalem, he has told the disciples that the Son of Man was going to Jerusalem to be crucified, that he would be spit upon, that he would be maligned, that he would be beaten. And so he was preparing them for what was coming. Unfortunately, it escaped them. They still did not have the understanding of what Jesus was talking to them about. They fully expected, and the anticipation was, and certainly every step closer that they got to Jerusalem was he was taking it over. He was taking Jerusalem back. They were arguing. They brought in Mom, you know, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, the sons of thunder. Even got Mom involved. Hey, let's go secure our position with the king. And so they were still anticipating and expecting that. But last week we saw that Jesus, as he is heading to Jerusalem, he kind of takes this a side route. And we find him in Jericho, and he comes across blind Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus and the other man that's with them receive their sight. But Jericho, at this time, we're told it's actually two cities. There was Old Town and the New Jericho. And so verse 1, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. New Jericho was a destination city. You know, for those who lived in Michigan all their lives, the snowbirds go where? They go down to Florida. They have a destination, a place where they go where it's warm, you know, so that they don't have to deal with the cold. It was kind of like Las Vegas or Palm Springs, if you're from Southern California and know what Palm Springs was. It was situated below sea level. It had a consistently warm temperature. And it was also a prosperous city, as the trade route from Damascus to the trade countries of the east went through Jericho. It was a place where large trade taxes were exacted. And it also had its own balsam industry. In fact, the balsam industry in Jericho was so prosperous that when Mark Anthony had taken control of that area, he actually gifted the trade of the balsam trade from Jericho to Cleopatra for a time. So this was a very prosperous area. It had, you know, it had trade, and certainly a lot of trade went through it. Jericho, we know, was the first major city that God had given into the hands of Joshua as the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan. And remember, the Lord basically took down the walls. It was completely destroyed. And then it was the Lord pronounced a curse upon it. The man who would rebuild Jericho would be cursed, and we had talked about that last week. It did actually take place during the reign of Rahab and Jezebel. It's a curious, certainly it's an odd route for Jesus to take as he is going to Jerusalem, because it was in the southeast part of the region. Yet God, or the Lord, took that route because he had a divine appointment planned there in Jericho. In verse 2, "Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich." Now behold, we need to pay attention, particular attention, when we come to "now behold." That's what it means. There was a man named Zacchaeus in Jericho. He was a chief tax collector. He was a little guy. I feel sorry for him. In that sense, but he was rich. Zacchaeus is the last recorded individual that Jesus would specifically address before he enters into Jerusalem. So this is something that we need to take note of. This is a personal, certainly a personal meeting that is about to take place. And this man was rich, and he was very rich, based on where he was and his position. You see, he was the chief tax collector. But the interesting note on Jericho was that it was also a Levitical town. It was a place where the Levite priests would have been taken care of. They were allotted certain land and provision from the town of Jericho. So those that served in the Levitical office for that area or that region would be there in Jericho. Zacchaeus, to a devout Jew, could have been public enemy number one for sure. In order for him to be a tax collector, Zacchaeus would have denounced his heritage, he would have denounced his religion, would have denounced his family, he would have denounced everything that he knew growing up in order to serve the Roman Empire. He gave his allegiance to Caesar. And even worse, he was a competition for the religious elect, the scribes and the Pharisees of the region. Remember what Jesus had said to them directly, that they were covetous of money. And so Zacchaeus, tax collectors, one of the reasons they hated tax collectors so much was because they were in direct competition for the monies that were going through this town. And so he was wealthy, and no doubt he was hated by the populace and the religious leaders that were there in Jericho, just as every other tax collector was that they had come across. The name Zacchaeus in Jericho certainly was infamous. It was hated, certainly cursed, but that was all about to change. It's interesting, you see, his mother and his father were like most moms and dads in Israel. They had great hopes for this little child when he was born. Maybe he could go to one of the great schools to become a scribe or a Pharisee, one of the rabbis, serve in the local synagogue, or give himself to public service. There's no doubt that there was this hope and this intention in the hearts of the parents. You see, there was a meaning to a name when it was given to a child during, certainly in that time, and for sure in this culture, for the children of Israel. Zacchaeus means pure. It means to be transparent or clean. And it must have been almost humorous to the people of Jericho, to the general population, especially the self-righteous religious leaders of that day. "Sure, I'll pay your taxes, pure." And you can almost hear this biting, sarcasm when the general population would say the name Zacchaeus when in that town. He was not a popular guy, and in the eyes of the Jewish population, he was far from pure as one can get. A publican. And even worse than that, he was a chief publican. Dirty, rotten sinner, and in their eyes, he was an enemy. I mean, he could have been a drug dealer. He could have been a murderer, a prostitute, a politician, a porn peddler, an adulterer, but a tax collector, that was the worst of the worst. Yet, Jesus had a plan. Jesus had a purpose. Jesus had a divine meeting planned for this man. And he sought, verse 3, to see who Jesus was. But he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass away. And you guys can all sit back and relax. I threw away all of my short jokes. You're not going to get any of them. And it's hard for me to relate to that anyways, so I'm just going to believe what the story says. But Zacchaeus, listen, this man was determined to see Jesus Christ. The crowd was certainly not going to accommodate him, because not only was he short, he just wasn't liked. You know, in Sunday school, we learned about Zacchaeus. Even had a song written about him. You remember that song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree for the Lord. He wanted to see. Remember that song? He was a miserable wee little man. We haven't told our children the full story, all right? And he had a divine appointment, one he did not yet know about, but it would change his life. And it would not just change his life that afternoon, it would change his life forever, for this divine appointment was an eternal divine appointment. In verse 5, we're told, and when Jesus came to the place, underline it if you like to underline or take notes in your Bible, underline the place. He looked up, and you can underline he looked up, and saw him, underline saw him, and said to him, this is very important that we take note of this. Listen, Zacchaeus is determined to see Jesus. He's climbed up into a sycamore tree, which is no small feat. For the sycamore trees in that area, the lower branches were not real low. And certainly he found one on the side of the road in the area that he knew that Jesus would be coming to. A crowd had gathered around Jesus. And as he entered, it says he entered and is passing through. Jesus comes to that place. The place he had come to Jericho to be at specifically. It was that place, that time, that scenario. Jesus had an appointment he had been determined to keep. And so when we hear that Jesus came to the place, it was a very special place, and it was a specific place. There was one more person Jesus was to meet before he went to Jerusalem to die on the cross. So let's not miss this morning the depth of Jesus' love for each and every one of us. Despite our past failures, our past dealings, our unworthiness, or what others may think about us. For where two, we're told in Scripture, Jesus said, for where two or three have gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And listen, Jesus is here right now, in this place. Now, are you determined to see him and to hear from him? Before we go any further, put yourself in that tree. Whatever or whomever has blocked a clear view of Jesus, whatever has gotten in the way of seeing him, determine in your heart this morning for it to be removed, that you might very clearly see him. Zacchaeus climbed up that tree, and what happens next will change his life. And it's not because he saw Jesus. Luke records that Jesus looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay at your home. And it's more than just a statement. It's more than just a little scenario that we see that Jesus looked up and said, hey, Zacchaeus, why don't you come on down here? It was not that that Jesus saw a peculiar little guy in a tree that kind of caught his attention and he decided to speak to this man. Or just gave him a casual glance over to see what was going on and to see if Zacchaeus was really paying attention or wanted to see what he was doing. It says that Jesus looked up. And by implication, to look at, it means to look at with intensity. Literally, to recover sight. When Jesus looked up, that was all that he was focusing on. Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus. It was his intention. And Jesus entered, the intention and why Jesus entered Jericho. And as he passed through, determined to be at that place to look up into that tree and to see that man, Zacchaeus, who was in that tree at that moment. And then it says, and saw him. He looked up and he saw him. Saw or to see is eido, or I do. It was not a passing glance. He was not just looking at him. It means to know, to perceive, and to understand. And so as he looks up at this man, Zacchaeus, he gives him that look of compassion, that look of understanding of what Zacchaeus is going through, who Zacchaeus is. I'll never forget, and maybe some of you have had this happened in your lifetime, but I will never forget. It was in a summer during college, a summer of some particularly hard partying, and I was walking through the condo complex that I was living at, and there was this young woman who was probably about 3 or 4 years ahead of me in high school. I hadn't seen her for a while. It was a family that had some, athletes in it. I respected a great deal. And, I'm walking from my car to my condo, and she stops and she goes, Bill? I said, yeah, I can't remember her name, but I will never forget the scene. I will never forget what I saw. And she looks at me and she says, Are you feeling okay? Are you, And she was looking at me, and I looked in her face and I knew right then. I had lost some weight. There's no doubt that it was some of the poor decisions I was making at that time. But when she was looking at me, she knew. She knew exactly what was going on in my life. And I sensed it. I saw it in her face. I saw it in her eyes. And I heard it in the questions that she was asking me. And she was concerned about me. There's no doubt. That's how Jesus was looking at Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus knew it. He could see it in Jesus' eyes, and he'll hear it in Jesus' voice. And so he saw him. Now, eido, or I do, it's that intense looking. I mean, if I were to say, what are you looking at? Or look at this right now, what would you say you're looking at? If it was just the precursory glance or seeing, you would say it was a Bible or a book, right? But I do goes much deeper. It is a collection of 66 books written by 40 authors containing the words of life from God, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, without contradiction, without error. The volumes of which was written concerning Jesus, who is the Christ, who alone has the very words of eternal life, because he came, died on a cross, was buried, and he was risen from the dead for you. And if you saw what I held up, and it even goes deeper than that. That is I do. That is how Jesus looked upon and saw Zacchaeus up in that tree. And he just started reading him like he knew the very, the very depths of Zacchaeus's heart. And that just scratches the surface of this book that I held up, the Bible, of what it means when Luke says Jesus saw Zacchaeus. And if you're determined to see Jesus this morning, I can say with absolute confidence that he is looking at you at this place this morning with an intention and a determination that you have never seen in any human eyes that you've ever come in contact with in your entire life. And it says, and said to him, and that means he spoke directly to him. He was the only person in the place, and this is what he said, Zacchaeus, and we can stop there. Remember, Zacchaeus means pure. It was not said with the hard-biting underlying ridicule that he was accustomed to hearing from all of those that he came in contact with. There was no venom or hatred in the tone Jesus used. There was no intent to scorn or to scold. As Jesus addresses Zacchaeus in that tree, he said, Zacchaeus, this morning, or he said, Zacchaeus, and this morning we can each appropriately place our own name there. I know you, Zacchaeus. Not only can you see it in my eyes, but let me tell you with what I have to say to you. And just saying his name brought comfort. Zacchaeus knew in the tone of the voice that Jesus understood who he was. He knew his name. Listen. He knows our names. He knows each one of us here this morning intimately. Regardless if we have made a response or if we have determined to see him clearly, you see, he knew who Zacchaeus was. Bill, I know your fears. I know your failures. I know at times you're fickle, that you like to wander. I even know your frame and your flaws, your struggles, even to the number. Listen, he knows the number of hairs on our head, which I know for some is a little bit easier than others, but it's still, you know, it'd be impossible for us. I know who you are. I know what you desire. And when he says our name, he knows us intimately. And he said, make haste and come down from the tree. I must stay at your house. Listen, I want to have sweet fellowship and communion with you, is what he was saying. Zacchaeus, I want to spend time with you. Come down from there. The word stay means to abide. Zacchaeus, I have eternal matters to discuss with you. For today I must abide or dwell in your home. The meeting will be temporal. Listen, the meeting is only going to last that afternoon into the evening. Jesus intended to go eat with Zacchaeus, but this dinner will transform Zacchaeus eternally. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. In verse 6, we're told, so he made haste and came down, received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they, and you know, I said, we don't want to be the they of this story, of this example. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Which is, that was Jesus' MO. The disciples by this time had to have been getting used to it. Starting to maybe understand what this Jesus was all about. Zacchaeus had never received an invitation like this before in his entire life. I'll guarantee that. In fact, nobody had. There is no other instance of Jesus actually inviting himself into somebody else's home. You'll never find him say, hey, you come down, I'm going to your house, you're going to make dinner for me. We found him in the presence, we found him in the Pharisees' home, we found him eating with, you know, with sinners before. But here he invites himself to go to Zacchaeus' home. Yet there is no greater event that we can witness than when somebody accepts Jesus Christ to dwell with them eternally. Isn't it true? Listen, the angels rejoice. Look at the crowd's reaction. They all came to see Jesus, but he went home with that rotten scoundrel, Zacchaeus. Can you believe that? Man, we've got this nice church and this nice building, man. We better be careful about who we let in this place, huh? We can get that way sometimes. He doesn't dress like us. He doesn't speak like us. She doesn't, you know, whatever it might be. We can be the theys sometimes. And we need to be careful, Christians, not to become like the crowds, like the legalists, like the Pharisees. Who is or who is not worthy of God's mercy and grace? Is that a question we should even ask? It certainly isn't one that we should answer, unless it's anybody and everybody. Whether or not somebody needs to clean up their act before they come to Jesus. You ever thought that? Well, maybe once they get that right, and you know, I'm dealing with it right now with what happened, you know, in my own family. The gentleman who killed my great niece is in jail. He's up for second degree murder. But listen, Jesus came and died to die for him. He needs Jesus Christ in his life, regardless of what faces him in this temporal life. He needs to know the God of all eternity. And it's not for me to determine whether or not he's worthy of it, because Jesus Christ came to die for him. Jesus has decided he's worthy of it. But we can get that way when we look at people in our lives, when we look at people come through the door. We should never, ever be like that. We can sometimes set expectations on others that Jesus himself would never put on them. And we can end up blocking the view of those who may have even come this morning determined to see him. In verse 8, we see, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. Now, here is an evidence that Zacchaeus had a real conversion, that this meeting changed him and meant something to him. We can only speculate what the conversation was, right? We probably all know kind of what, you know, Jesus told him all about it and said that now you can pray the sinner's prayer, right? And we know how it's all supposed to go. There's no doubt it was intimate. There's no doubt it was a very personal time. What we can determine is this: the gospel was received into the home of Zacchaeus, and the result was a changed life forever. The position of tax collector was governed, listen, by great greed, gouging others for one's own personal gain. Yet Zacchaeus was radically changed. He desired to return that which he had wrongfully taken. In fact, he was willing to give back more than what the law required. But that is not what saved him. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham, which, yeah, it's a little bit confusing. You know, that one's a hard one to figure out, because he's a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, which we know to be true. In Luke 18, Jesus said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Do you remember that? He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man or a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And they start going, then who can make it? And that's when he said, "With you know, those things that are impossible to man are possible with God." You see, he just proved it. Salvation comes by grace through faith alone. It's not by works. Notice Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. Not because Zacchaeus was giving everything back, but because of the faith that he had in Jesus Christ. Paul explains what that means to be a son of Abraham in Romans chapter 4. If you want to turn there, it'll be on the overhead. Paul said this: what then shall we say, that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted or imputed to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. And he goes on to explain that the circumcision was just an outward sign of an acknowledgement of the faith that Abraham had in God. Abraham believed God. And it says that salvation had come to the house of Zacchaeus because he was the son of Abraham. He too believed with a saving faith. And so Paul gives us this example and understanding. And listen, Jesus, listen, has entered and is passing through this place this morning. He's in this place. He's looking around the room. He knows each and every person here this morning. He knows each and every person here by name. He even knows what you've done and what your attitude is and whether you are determined to see him this morning. But none of that matters, because what really matters is today he desires to stay at your home. He's knocking on the door of your heart. He desires to know you personally. And we know that the scripture says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who thirsts come, and whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. That is, undeservedly, and he's calling. He's here, in this place, in this moment, and it might be a divine appointment with you this morning. If he's speaking to your heart, don't miss the opportunity, because his desire is to abide with you forever. Amazing. He continues to do it. He continues to call. He continues to save. And that's why he came. That was his desire. That's why he was going to Jerusalem. But listen, he's passing through all the time, man. He's passing through for you, and he's passing through for me. Will we respond to that call? Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that if there's anybody here this morning like Zacchaeus, who this morning is determined to see you, to know you. Lord, if your Spirit is speaking to their heart, to come down, to open up their heart to you, Lord, to let you come in and abide with them forever, knowing that by that act of faith, Lord, that salvation can come into their own house, their own life, Lord. We just pray that we would not get in the way. Nothing that we've ever said, nothing that we've ever done, no wrong attitude, Lord, that may have been carried in. Lord, that we would be completely out of the way so that you can work. And if there's anybody here this morning that the Spirit is speaking to you, maybe you've just heard him call on your voice and you want to pray and know that salvation has come into your life, raise your hand, because we want to pray with you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you. I just pray for each of us, for this, your church, Lord, that we would, that you would strengthen us and give us, Lord, the wisdom to not be the theys that get in the way, Lord, but that are pointing and directing everybody to the one that can save, the one that brings eternal life, the one that transforms lives, brings joy to lives that of those who have suffered, of those who have been shunned, of those who feel lost, Lord. And if there's anybody here, Lord, that maybe in their heart that has said, Lord, that's me. I want to know that I have eternal life. Then I pray, Lord, that you would seal them, that you would confirm that in their heart, that they would be transformed and renewed. We thank you and we praise you for all that you have done and what you will continue to do here in and through us. Lord, use us for your glory. We pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Would you stand?
You came down from heaven. are Jesus, Son of God. You took our sin, you bore our shame, you rose to life, you defeated the grave.
Week, and we'll see you all here on Wednesday. I've got to go to Debbie's house and get the music for next week because she left it on her front porch and I forgot to get it.
Oh, she's out next week?
No, but I'm leading next week and she left me the music.